For those of you who don't know who we are or what we're doing up here, I can explain.
I'm glad you can.
That doesn't necessarily mean I will, because we, Calvos and I, unless you're Damien, occasionally dabble in the incomprehensible, but in a good way. Which indirectly brings us back to our reason for being here, because we have a good way to explain who we are, namely, flashcards. First of all, we're a radio show. A radio is an invention of the Paleolithic age that converted paleoliths into audio frequencies, also known as sound. Hunter-gatherers of the day collected these sound to play back at a later time for entertainment. 10,000 years later, that's pretty much what we do, except that we don't have to simultaneously watch our backs for grumpy woolly mammoths. Another key difference, we don't eat our interviewees, not unless they're irredeemably appalling.
It really has happened.
And we have it on good authority that this evening's entertainment has nary an irredeemably appalling tune
none
on it.
None.
Paleolithic man typically played back his sound in what cultural anthropologists called a cave, a naturally occurring hollowed-out area in the earth that was the prehistoric equivalent of the ground floor unit of a Motel 6. We, on the other hand, play back our sound in the house.
In the house.
Which is not so much a physical structure as it is a state of mind. I would explain that, however, I have something else on my mind instead. The 2009 MacArthur Foundation grant winners were announced recently. And once again, due to another so-called administrative error...
Ah, yes, the administrative errors that always catch up with us.
Calvos and Damien were left off of the list. You'd think that after 14 years, that's how long they've known of our existence and yet passed us over, we'd be used to this annual snub from John and Kathy. But no, we aren't. Like having one's tonsil removed with only a sharpened clarinet reed, it does hurt. So much so that we've decided to undedicate this episode of In the House to them. Sure, this may damage our chances to get that free loot in the future, but sometimes you just have to stand up for what you believe. And we believe that you, our listening audience, need to write to the Foundation at 140 South Dearborn Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60603, and in your own words, describe how Calvos and Damien perform such a noble public service that MacArthur money is long overdue them. If you can't think of anything to say, we can, and in fact have. For details, see Calvos at intermission. If intermission has already come and gone, as we all have to some extent, please see him before the show. Meanwhile, a radiophonic show awaits. It's the 556th in a series, but the very first one held in the presence of two live bassoons. And sure, not all of our programs have lived up to the high standards that you, our listening audience, hope for. However, as noted before, we can practically guarantee you that this one will. So join us, won't you, as if you have any choice in the matter, in
the house.
Thank you.
Now, for those who might have thought that was in fact Jean-Francex, like it says in the program, it wasn't.
The program is in error, as is much of the program. No, that's not right. But the program is program notes are in error.
That's the first time you'll hear Brian Robison's Animal Psychology of a Different Kind, a piece from 2009. You'll hear it again right after the intermission. So
be sure to come back for the intermission.
Come back after the intermission. And the VCX, we like to call them the VCX. We like you know, very modern names, not the Vermont Contemporary Music Ensemble. That's always kind of felt slow to us, and we like the short name. So the VCX has been an amazing ensemble all these years, and they have a diversity of choices. And we're going to go right from this Brian Robison piece to the Jean-Francex, who, by the way, seemed to insist that his name be pronounced that way instead of Jean-Francais. And so you have some revealing aspects of
research. Research pays off.
Yes.
A stated goal of French composer Jean-Francex.
Thank you.
Was to give pleasure. According to records of the Paris National Infirmary, he also gave blood. This evening, he gives us a dialogue between two querulous parrots, as interpreted by the parrot on whose opposing shoulders the birds are perched. Oh, parakeets.
I see. Parakeets? What?
A pair of what?
Can you get closer? Oh. Thank you.
You're listening to Calvus and Damien in the House on the Non-Pop International Network with the Vermont Contemporary Music Ensemble. We really are a radio show. We really are recording this for broadcast. And so we will therefore do a kind of a post announced on each piece. So that was Berta Frank on flute and Laurel Ann Maurer on alto flute with Jean-Francois's piece Le Colloque des Deux Perruches.
Giving pleasure.
Giving pleasure, Jean-Francois, giving pleasure. Next up is Elliot Carter. You know, Elliot Carter...
Not personally.
No,
certainly not
no.
biblically.
Well,
either.
we haven't actually interviewed him for the show yet. And interestingly enough, Elliot Carter is coming up 101 years old and still composing. It's just hard for me to sort of assess the fact that he was, what, 40-something when I was born. He was already a famous composer. But for facts, by the way, please consult your program. We won't give you any.
This is, again, research has led me to this information. Elliot Carter Jr. and his twin brother Jimmy were simultaneously elected to the presidency of the United States in 1977. However, only Jimmy reported for duty. Thanks to a long-repressed admonition from Charles Ives, the Carter family's erstwhile insurance agent, and that is true. So there. Elliot instead opted to pursue a musical career. Now approaching 17 in dog years, both he and Jimmy continue not to be president. You have anything you'd like to add?
I have learned a great deal. It's an enormous amount.
What are you doing here? Oh, this is
performers.
Yes.
Vermont Contemporary Music Ensemble, Hiyoku by Elliot Carter. Thank you. Stephen Klimowski and Betsy LeBlanc on clarinets with Elliot Carter's Hyoku. He was 91 when he wrote all those notes.
So?
I won't be able to see that many notes when I'm 91.
You won't have to. It'll all
won't
be
able
done.
To think that many notes.
It'll all be done technologically. You won't have to think. It'll be...
Implants.
Yes.
What's up next? Oh, two bassoons. Two live bassoons.
Oh, I thought you said tuba.
Two live bassoons. You have information.
Yes. The Russian composer, like you...
Sofia Gubaidulina. I never know whether she wants it on the second or the fourth.
We just call her Aunt Sophie.
Aunt Sophie. All right, Aunt Sophie.
She was the brainchild of Viennese composer Anton Webern, who was also one of her most important influences. Throughout her life, she has enjoyed on-again, off-again relationships with various celebrated clowns, such as Jacques Tati,
yes.
Buster Keaton,
yes.
and two-thirds of the Keystone Cops. In 1976, she wrote a sonata for two buffoons.
I understand now. It comes clear.
However, the flutter-tonguing and multiphonics so befuddled the performers that a year later, she revised it for two bassoons.
Bassoons. They're here. They're sorting their music. We're about to hear them in their two bassoons playing.
Tubas?
Sophia Kobay. You don't want me to do that all
yes.
the time. We're going to hear Rachel Elliott and Lynn Heilman play this great, fantastic tune. Here
we don't know that yet.
Yes, we do. We heard it.
Thank you. You thought that a bassoon could only do the grumpy grandfather in Peter and the Wolf.
I heard two parakeets there on the shoulder of a deranged parrot.
A deranged pirate. Yes, of course.
There,
indeed, this sort of plunges us into the great high modernist period of composition, which used to, before the audiences like you began to understand that this was something more transformative than just sort of arbitrary choices of notes, this used to send people screaming from the room. And instead, here's this amazing, amazing thing. Rachel Elliott and Lynn Heilman playing Sofia Gubaidulina's Sonata for Two Bassoons. And you have some fictitious information coming up we need to know.
This is your piece, is it not? Yes.
That's fictitious, no matter how you look at it, isn't it?
So correct me if I'm wrong, Calvus.
You're wrong, definitely wrong.
But my research leads me to hypothesize that Ovox is the name of a red star in the southern hemispheric constellation of Gojira, or Godzilla. One day, a black hole came along, sucked Ovox into its event horizon, and the star popped. Your tune endeavors to musically depict the poppage.
The big pop.
The big pop. So am I close?
You are absolutely as close as you could be without being correct.
That's good. So do tell.
I've already. The truth is in the program, but this is a fun piece. This is the kind of thing that entertains, it enchants, it usually
That's
puts
what,
me to
yeah,
sleep. But
right.
I wrote it, so yeah. It's okay. All right, let's hear it. Rachel's back on bassoon, and now Steve Klimowski on bass clarinet. I love that instrument. My first instrument, the bass clarinet, and so here it is. Oh, Vox Pop.
Thank you.
Ovox Pop, Dennis Bathory Kitts, played by Rachel Elliott and Stephen Klimowski of the Vermont Contemporary Music Ensemble. There is an intermission now, and we'll be back after that. Please take a look at the back of the room. There are CDs for sale, including a brand new one as of this morning, which is a limited edition just for friends and supporters of the Vermont Contemporary Music Ensemble. So please take a look back there, and we'll see you after the intermission. Thanks very much. This is Calvus and Damien
in the house
on the Non-Pop International Network.